listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Greeting I've been waiting for. Biznatch, Mark, can ever get the damn thing right? I thought there's four of them. Where's the other two? No? Never mind. Welcome to the new Tuesday edition, Tuesdays with Maury, on Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I gave the con my Thanksgiving gift, the bag of 99-cent Ritz bits with cheese. And hey, there's going to be turkey. No, bird flu. No. And this is Tuesday, 7 o'clock Pacific time. Was it 9 o'clock in Chicago, 10 o'clock in New York? And I'm Sean O'Mac. I already said that. And a little discombobulated. Not used to being here on a Tuesday. I'm hungover from last night. No. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Last week's show did very well in the podcast, I must say. A little recovery from the week before, so I appreciate that. Everybody's listening via the podcast. And tonight in a little while will be Dan Real, the realworldview.com. And we'll talk about everything that's going on in the world, and as well as the that blogging network, blogger network called Open Source Media, or Open Soar Media. They had to change their name from, they originally changed their name from Pajamas Media to Open Source Media, and then they found out, lo and behold, that there's a radio show on NPR with the same name, so they've had to change their name back to Pajamas Media, so he's been talking about that on his blog, so we'll talk to him about that. And then in the second hour, unless Amber shows up at 8, if she does, then we'll make way for her an hour early. But then second hour at the beginning would be Justin from the Dunkelfint blog. And then the last half hour of the program would be Judy from the Science Fiction Buzz website with our very first Sci-Fi Buzz report. So it won't be all just about Galactica. It'll be a little bit more about sci-fi in general. And she's got some interesting stories we can talk about sci-fi in general. So we'll get to that. And the program is podcasted on LVRocks.com. Click on LVRocks.com. Go over to the left-hand side of the screen. You'll see podcasts. And all the programs are podcasted down there. And the site for the program is subject2discussion.com. And my email is Subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. So, and before we get going with the news, too, I want to talk about a couple of things. What's been on my mind is George Bush, President Bush, and that door. He couldn't get the damn door to open in Japan. He couldn't get an exit strategy out of the press conference. Oh, that was funny as hell. The guy walked over. Don't they usually tell him, Mr. President, you walk out this way? You know, he ran over to the door and pulled it, and it was locked, and he tried to get it, and it was locked. And he said he's trying to get away, so I don't know. They're all beating him up over that. Every newspaper, the New York Times had on, like, or New York, one of them, the newspapers had four different pictures of Bush trying to pull that door open. And then we had the Nike plane and its landing gear in Oregon. Plane that the landing gear can come down, and CNN covered it for nonstop for 2 hours. And the Nike plane, I think during that plane ride, the Nike stock was plummeting like a rock because the CEO was on board. So. And that landed well after they did some zero gravity maneuver, apparently, to help jar the landing gear down on the plane. And then, of course, we had the Congressman Murtha and all that. All hell broke loose over the Iraq business and the pullout out of Iraq. And then the Republicans dropped his bill because he wanted as soon as practicable pullout of Iraq. And then the Republicans put in a bill that wanted immediate pullout of Iraq. So then that bill got defeated overwhelmingly, but it wasn't Murtha's bill. It was the bill the Republicans put in its place. And then, of course, this past weekend we had the comedy festival at Caesar's Palace, which I was talking about with Con here. I saw a lot of celebrities at the hotel. Dustin Hoffman was there. Leonardo DiCaprio. I actually had a face-to-face encounter with Leonardo DiCaprio. He came into my apartment. His key wasn't working to his room. So, yeah, at first I'm like, oh, man. I said, you have to go to the front desk, get your key. And then he leaned in and he goes, you understand, my key isn't working. So I'm like, oh, I took that meant I had to go up to the front desk and get his damn key. So that's what I did. And Steve Martin was there, very nice. Who else? Quite a few others. Jerry Seinfeld was in the building. The guy who did Family. Oh, woo, the Triumph, the Insult Dog. He insulted me. What else? But it was pretty cool seeing all the stars in one place. It's pretty nice. They're filming it for HBO, and they did a global warming program. And they filmed that there, too. So it's pretty nice seeing all those people. And I tried to get to Jimmy Carter today. I couldn't get near him for an interview, so because he was in town with a book, signing the book, and I couldn't get to Jimmy Carter. So, but anyway, and move on a little bit to the news. And wow, there you go. It's like wrestling music there. And we had the
pep up your news.
There
man.
You go. I need some pepping up. I get all this stuff out of the way for the interview. I got Judy's stuff here. I want to spoil
now it's
her
time
news.
For Sean and his daily news.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Daily news. I should do the daily news. Should name the program the daily news. No, no.
You should do like a 1 minute daily news like
about my life. There's not much going on.
Yeah, why not?
I farted outside, but that's another story.
Today's news.
Today's news.
Thank you.
And I want to talk about the census counts Thanksgiving consumption. Each year, the Census Bureau tabulates dozens of obscure facts related to 20 holidays. For example, people do not realize that a typical American eats 13.7 pounds of turkey and 4.7 pounds of sweet potatoes each year. Wow. Or that 256 million turkeys are being raised in America this year, and the most turkeys are being raised in Illinois. I found that out. Or that the U.S. exports of cranberries and sweet potatoes help reduce the nation's trade deficit. Well, Halle Berry's sending more of that crap out of the country because we got a big trade deficit. And what else is going on? And also they have that's interesting. They have from St. Patrick's Day, Americans drink an average of 22, they issue these reports periodically throughout the year. Americans on average year drink an average of 22 gallons of beer a year. For Halloween, they reported that we eat an average of 25 pounds of candy a year. Wow. And on Independence Day, he projected Americans would consume $150 million hot dogs on the day, roughly one for every two people. So that's interesting. And then we had this deal Monday with the Chinese spy ring going on here, which I don't think anybody was talking about it. A California engineer and family plead not guilty. A Chinese-American engineer who worked on Navy warship technology and two family members pleaded not guilty Monday to an indictment alleging they were unregistered agents for China. Chi Mak and his wife, Rebecca Laiwa Chiu, and his brother, Tai Wong Mak, and his sister's name is Big Mac, I think, entered their plea before U.S. judge magistrate. This case is involved. I read that a few weeks ago that charges ranging from stealing government property to transportation of stolen goods and conspiracy. What the hell? I was talking about this. The investigators allege that the one guy, Chi Mak, 65, took computer disks from Anaheim-based defense contractor Power Paragon, where he was a lead engineer on a sensitive research project involving propulsion systems for Navy warships. So I think they'd be talking about this more and more, but nobody else seems to be caring about it. You know, we're all interested in what Angelina Jolie is doing for Thanksgiving. Monsignor in Phoenix is arrested. This is the gift that keeps on giving. The former vicar general of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix was arrested Monday on charges he fondled boys and young men and asked them prying questions about their sex lives that he pretended were part of confession. Monsignor Dale Fishick becomes one of the highest-ranking priests to be charged in a sex scandal that has engulfed the church. The vicar general is the highest-ranking administrator of a diocese next to the bishop. This pervert was charged with three counts of assault, five of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and two of indecent exposure. All are misdemeanors, punishable by no more than 3 years and 9 months in jail. So, pervert, this keeps on going on. I tell you, the Justice Department's got to go in here and blast that Catholic Church. You know, shut them down, fine them, put them out of business or something.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. And what else? Then we have Walmart back in the news. Walmart, check out errors top guidelines. You better check your receipts at Walmart. Walmart stores charge the wrong price to shoppers in California and the Midwest, a rate that exceeds those set by federal guidelines, according to two union commission university. I don't know how good true this story is. I don't know if the union is putting it up, but attorneys general in Illinois and California said reports raise serious concerns. The two studies said random purchases at 60 Walmart stores in California found that the wrong price came up 8.3% of the time at 78 stores in Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. Checkout scanners ring up the wrong price 6.4% of the time. What the hell's going on there at Walmart there? And we have, of course, yesterday was Monday. Bosnia marks the 10 years of the peace agreement, the Dayton Peace Accords in Bosnia. Bosnia marks the 10th anniversary of the Dayton Peace Agreement, which ended more than 3 years of bloody inter-ethnic war and divided the country into a shaky system of separate but equal entities. Ahead of the anniversary, at the end of the 92 to 95 war, which left 2,000 dead, we all know about that. The parties were expected to continue the debate about reform to create a more centralized state, initiated earlier this month in Brussels. While the U.S. officials stressed that they expected strong commitment on reform, the Bosnian leaders' failure to agree on any concrete measures in Brussels indicated the process would be long and difficult. We forget we still have troops over there in Bosnia as well. And then Monday, yesterday, we also had the thing about GM, General Motors, cutting 30,000 jobs and closing 12 facilities. And then when I was coming in, I heard that Ford's laying off 4,000 employees. So General Motors, pounded by declining sales and rising health care costs, said Monday it will cut more than a quarter of its North American manufacturing jobs and close 12 facilities by 2008. The UAW United Auto Workers called the plan devastating and warned it would make negotiations more difficult, but some Wall Street analysts said GM's actions may not go far enough. So, we talked about that like a couple weeks ago about the economy. The GM's teetering on the verge of bankruptcy here. Job cuts represent 27% of GM's hourly jobs and about 17% of its overall North American workforce of 173,000. Why don't these executives take some pay cuts here to help stave off these cuts on the hourly employees there? That makes some sense, you know? And stop with their golden parachutes and their bonuses and everything else, you know? And then we had Zimbabwe to process newly found uranium. I wonder if we're going to be going after them now for processing uranium. Zimbabwe will turn to nuclear power by processing recently discovered uranium deposits to resolve its chronic electricity shortage, state radio said on Sunday. South Africa has the region's only nuclear power station at Coburg. So Zimbabwe has been plagued by a chronic shortage of foreign exchange since Mugabe's seizure of 5,000 white-owned farms and the collapse of the export-oriented aircraft. Well, we talked about that before, how they're bringing in people from other countries to man the farms, and the countries that are leaving are not having any farmers left to man the land that they have. So, and then we had this from Hong Kong. Hong Kong's Disneyland attendance well down on predictions, so they're not doing too well in Disney in Hong Kong. Disney's theme park in Hong Kong has drawn much lower than expected visitors in the 2 months since opening. A head count of visitors to the park carried out by four reporters of the South China Morning Post, that'd be a boring job, showed that 12,972 people visited the park on November 13th on Sunday, and 11,399 entered the park on Wednesday, November 16th. So the government, which owns a 50% stake in the $3 billion U.S. Resort, and they expected 5.6 million visitors in its first year. So it doesn't look like they're doing that well there in Hong Kong. If you're getting sick of Disney, you're up their head in Disney. Jesus. Give us a break. I think they put Six Flags over. Probably went over better. Belize man charged in U.S. woman's death. Police in Belize said Thursday they have charged a young man with killing a 20-year-old American tourist, Julia Armstrong Menard. Menard, the daughter of late Lawrence Menard, a former managing editor of Forbes magazine, the founding editor. Hate to be her Christmas time, huh? Forbes Global magazine was found dead in Indian Creek, a Mayan town in the southern part of the Central American nation. from the marks around her neck, and we think she might have been strangled. Oh, boy, brilliant. The exact cause of death has not yet been determined. They filed murder charges against some kid, 19 years old. They have not determined a motive. Well, let's see here. Her body was bruised and partially dressed. I think that's a motive. And was found in the bushes near a highway. Some of her possessions were nearby. And I read somewhere else that she was supposed to be hitchhiking or something like that. Where are you hitchhiking in a foreign land? Or that's, you know, and being an American blonde. Brilliant. And this is about the Iraq pullout rejected and rancorous vote. I saw that hullabaloo that went up in Washington. The Republican-controlled House burned calls for an immediate pullout of troops from Iraq in a vote hastily arranged by the GOP that the Democrats denounced as politically motivated. So they, again, like I said, they substituted Murtha's resolution to pull out when as soon as practical. And then they put in their own, which the GOP put in a resolution that for immediate withdrawal. So they went down 403-3. The Democrats accused Republicans of orchestrating a political stunt and all blah, yada, yada. And then we had that woman, what the hell is her name, getting up and talking about how, oh, Jean Schmidt, this you know, bitch from Ohio, is a congresswoman. She's been a congress for about like 3 minutes. She told of a that call, we heard it all, that she asked me to send a message to Congress, stay the course. And she also asked me to send a message to Mr. Murtha, she asked me to send Congressman Murtha a message that cowards cut and run, Marines never do. So, and then they all went crazy, and she came back, and they pulled her remarks off the record and everything else, but still, it got out there. And Harold Ford, Democrat from Tennessee, Congressman, charged across the chamber center aisle, screaming the Republicans are making uncalled-for personal attacks. He was saying, you guys are pathetic, and also yelled Marty Meehan from Democrat Massachusetts. So, man, all hell's getting break loose. And also, I was seeing on USA Today how everybody's getting sick and tired of all this crap going on in Washington. It was in the back of the front section of USA Today. Everybody's getting mad, and I'll say maybe this is going to spur a third party. I certainly hope so, because it's getting ridiculous there. You know, we got all this stuff going on, yet they can't seem to get their act together. I mean, of course we got to get out of Iraq. It's a mess, and they don't want us over there. You know, they poll that the British had, it says they want so many of us, they support the attacks on the American troops. So what the hell are we there for? Get them out then. And what else? We had, this is from Saturday, heavy antibiotic use may raise lymphoma risk. Using antibiotics more than 10 times in childhood increases the likelihood of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, NHL, a cancer that affects the body's lymphatic system. This doctor from a Northern California Cancer Center also found that marginal increased NHL, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, risk among heavy users of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen, Motrin, and Advil, but no association between the disease and any other types of medication. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. I think I'm going to be a candidate for that because I've taken antibiotics most of my life. And this is from the World Health Organization. Polio is gone. Polio. I'm sorry. Polio. El Pollo Yoko. No. Polio. I can't read it right. Polio. Whatever the hell it is. Polio. There we go. It's a serious disease. Can't be serious. Polio. Whatever the hell it is. Polio. Gone in 10 African countries. Several infected countries linked to boycott. Polio has been stamped out in 10 African countries and a major boost to a global campaign to rid the world of the deadly disease. 10 states, African states, are the first of 18 previously polio-free countries that reported new cases since 2003 to stamp out the disease. So they had it stamped out, and it cropped up again. Now they stamped it back down. A vaccine boycott in Nigeria is blamed for causing an outbreak that spread the disease across Africa and into the Mideast as far as Indonesia. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. Coordinator for the WHO's World Polio Eradication Program told the Associated Press, the world can be polio-free in another 12 to 18 months. Everywhere in the poorest countries in the world are committing to turning this around. The polio has been stopped in Benin, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Central American Republic, Chad, Ghana. Over 200 children are paralyzed for life in these countries during the last 2 years due to the polio outbreak. It's good news for Africa. And hardline Islamic clerics in northern Nigeria led the 2003 immunization boycott, claiming that the polio vaccine was a part of a U.S.-led plot to render Nigeria's Muslims infertile or infect them with AIDS.
So spare me your sixth-grade Michael Moore logic.
That's a right-wing conspiracy there. We're going to inflict them with the polio.
Blow it out your ass.
Make them infertile and infect them with AIDS. So one way to defeat them.
Wow.
Yeah, and eight goats. There you go. Eight goats stolen from Lancaster County Corral. There you go. You're ready for that one. Lancaster County Sheriff's offices, officials are called to the scene of a theft. It's not usual heist. Sheriff's office is investigating the possible theft of eight South African boar goats from a corral northeast of Lincoln. Yeah, the goats worth $200 each went missing between sometime between the afternoon and, of course, you know, the next day, of course, the damn things are gone. They are brown and white with red heads. What else? Sounds like some there part of the anatomy. And they have piercings in their left ears. That also could be as part of the anatomy. And red spray paint spots on their rear ends. That could be a part of the anatomy as well. All are possibly pregnant. Sergeant said whoever stole the goats would have needed a trailer to haul them away. No kidding. Hope they find those goats, you know. Get some cheese out of them. Goat cheese. Toyota beating Ford in market share. So we have new number two automakers, Toyota. Wow. Toyota beating Ford in market share. GM still tops November, but down 24% from last year. Toyota is 1% behind General Motors as the number one car seller in America. Wow. Toyota Motor Company grabbed more U.S. Retail market share than Ford Motor Company. Oh, it's horrible. Retail share at the world's largest automaker, General Motors, was down 24% from the same period a year ago, and Toyota was running close behind with a retail share of 17.9%. So GM's at 18.8, Toyota is 17.9%. So, and then, where are we at here? Ford is down to 15.3% of the share. Oh, that's interesting. Daimler Chrysler, of course, is in fourth place in early November with a share of 13.6%, with Honda at 12.2%. So pretty soon we have the number one auto seller in the United States to be Toyota. Amazing. Orlando Bloom sued over agent commissions. Orlando Bloom's former management company has sued the actor for allegedly failing to pay $660,000 in commissions. Bloom entered into an oral agreement with the firm to pay the management company 10% commission for work negotiated on the actor's behalf. So this guy owes some money here. He terminated his relationship with the firm, which is the name of his PR firm, in July 2005. So according to the complainant, Keeshan and BGE, which is his other PR firm, were sued by the firm in a related suit, having wrongfully collected at least $200,000 in commissions for the upcoming second and third sequels to The Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, give me a break. That movie wasn't good the first time around. I'm going to get two more of those things. Ugh. And host father accused of raping former foreign exchange student. A Southern Springs man is accused of raping a foreign exchange student his family was hosting. Oh, it's great. Hospitality to the European
students.
Yes. Timothy Jordan, 29, was arrested a week ago in connection with the sexual assault of a 16-year-old girl from Germany. Wilson County Sheriff Deputy said that the girl's caseworker reported the crime 2 weeks ago. The girl was one of four foreign exchange students in the school district. Yeah, but they don't do a background check. The organization that placed the girl in this town does not conduct background checks on the family, so that's nice to know. Next one is...
You are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, I mean, a jackass raping a kid. She's come over here to learn about American life. I guess she found out the hard way. That's not funny, but it is. Oh, man. And then we had the this from Indiana. This kind of plays in. French Lick Hotel to close in preparation for casino. Developers of the state's newest casino said they will shut down the French Lick Springs Resort Hotel for a year to speed construction. The Southern Indiana Resort will close Sunday and will reopen in December 2006 when the casino opens its doors. So it's French Lick. It's a town in Indiana. I used to go there when I was a kid when I lived in Chicago. Very nice community. So good for them. We're getting a casino. Trump backed out of there, but now they got somebody else who's going to be running the casino there because they need to do something to spur economic development in that town. And this is from Friday. Study finds rural men often use condoms incorrectly. How the hell can you use a condom incorrectly? A new study has found that that men who live in rural Indiana often use condoms incorrectly during sex. Almost half the 75 men... almost half of the 75 men statewide who answered the Indiana University sex survey about their latest sexual encounters with women admitted waiting too long to put on a condom or taking it off too soon. Don't you know when you're done using it? Researchers say that underscores the... The researchers say it underscores the shortcomings of sex education in Indiana's public schools. Like, no kidding. And the critics worry that it could encourage teenagers to have sex instead of waiting until marriage.
You are a meathead.
Rural men were singing out as part of a broader attempt to track AIDS prevention efforts in those areas. God, how the hell can you not know how to find a condom? They teach that in sex education school. She grabs the cucumber and she takes out the condom and puts on the cucumber. And it's another idiot. Absolutely. This is an idiot from Las Vegas. So we got the collection of idiots today. Dad siphons gas. Son burned an explosion. A four-year-old boy is hospitalized at University Medical Center in Las Vegas.
Yes, does that suck?
The boy has got second and third degree burns. The boy was injured after an accident involving a gas can that his father placed inside their car. According to Metro, a 28-year-old, whoever his name is, Raymond Castellute, was siphoning gas out of cars. Here we go with this. He was siphoning gas out of cars to avoid buying it at the pump. He siphoned the gas into a can. He then placed the can inside his car where his two sons were sitting, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Castellute then lit a cigarette.
Yeah, little man.
He lit a cigarette, which triggered a gas vapor explosion inside the car, burning the 4-year-old boy. And what that gets better. Once Raymond Castellute realized his son had been burned, he didn't bring the boy to the hospital at first. There you go. Oh yeah. Ooh. That's live footage of the explosion. Instead, the guy, according to the police, the guy took the boy home to his mother. And then the couple then tried to come up with a story to explain the burns that wouldn't reveal Castellute had been trying to siphon and steal gas from parked cars. People don't realize that it takes just a little bit of fumes and doesn't take long for those fumes to escape, said spokeswoman from the Henderson, Las Vegas Fire Department. From the medical standpoint, this 4-year-old little boy will likely spend the rest of his life in pain. Gasoline burn frequently burns longer and hotter. Let's see. The boy said when kids receive severe burns, their lives have become intolerable. A painful routine of removing dead skin, followed by surgeries, followed by skin grafts, is something they will carry forever. Burn scars, they don't scar in an attractive fashion. That's terrible. Now in a burns unit stall at UMC, a 4-year-old lies in a bed in pain. His parents are behind bars for child neglect. So, wow, what a miserable life that kid's going to have, not just because his father is too damn lazy to get gas or dumbass siphoning gas out of parked cars. And another Walmart news, 125 illegal workers found at Walmart site. An immigration raid at a Walmart distribution center under construction led to the arrest of 125 illegal workers, all of whom will be deported, federal officials said on Friday. The workers from Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico were detained Thursday at the construction site in eastern Pennsylvania, according to the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Some of the 125 used fake documents to obtain employment with subcontractors. The arrests came after search warrants were executed. Oh, well, we all know about that. And so Walmart, company that builds the store and distribution center, is called Destin, and has worked on Walmart projects across the country. So, of course, Walmart's, you know, they had nothing to do with it. Anyway, Walmart's really getting beat up left and right. You know, now I read they're going to match the competitors' prices now for the first time ever. They usually never had a... after Thanksgiving promotion, but now they're going to match all their competitors' prices at Walmart. So you have a competing price. You go into Walmart, they're going to match it. So, Trio kickstarts Plan D in Czech Republic. This is from the EU Observer in Brussels. The European Commission is kicking off the first of its Plan D goodwill trips to meet EU citizens. The trio of VIPs is heading to the Czech Republic. President Juan Manuel Barroso, Vice President, Czech Commissioner for Social Policy, or we'll meet with Czech leaders and citizens in the Prague. We talked about that a few weeks ago, too, that this Project D is to discussion, democracy, dialogue, and debate to get these countries that are queasy about the EU to know that they all mean good things for everybody in Europe. So, and then we had this Navy doctor sues church officials claiming sexual abuse. A Navy doctor filed a federal lawsuit Thursday alleging he was sexually abused by a Catholic priest as a teenager, and that church officials did nothing to protect them. Lieutenant Commander Kenneth Whitwell, 37, claims he was abused for several years by the Reverend Edward J. Smith while attending Archmere Academy, a Catholic school in Claymont. Whitwell alleges that Smith, who now works at an Orbertine Order priory in Middleton, began molesting him in 1982 when he was a 14-year-old freshman, and Smith was a religion teacher. He taught him religion. He got medieval on his ass, I think, huh? According to the lawsuit, Smith had been removed from his job as principal at St. John Newman High School in Philadelphia 2 years earlier amid allegations of sexually abusing children, and was hidden by church officials in Maryland before being transferred to Delaware. Oh, man. It keeps going. All these priests. And then we had the sad day on the Las Vegas Strip. They closed the Westward Ho. Historic Westward Ho closes on the Las Vegas Strip. That's where you'll get a dollar glass of champagne underneath the fountain there. Lights have been turned out for good at the Westward Ho. A conga line of employees danced their way out of the historic Las Vegas Strip property around 5 p.m. Thursday, ending 40 years of business. Since 1965, the Westward Ho had been known as a place where you get oversized hot dogs and dollar bottles of beer. So they're going to turn into a timeshare over there. And that was sad. That was an old relic. Now, I wonder what that means for the Ho. Because the Westward Ho is on the Strip, and you got the Ho, which is behind the hotel and industrial. So I wonder if that's going to stay up or if all that's going. I don't know. But it was always a cheap place to stay, and you know they never did much to keep the place up. I mean, they run some cheap show upstairs, which is like Americana show, which was really bad. But and then we had this from Heidi Fleiss. Oh, that's right. I saw Heidi Fleiss in the hotel, too. She was staying at Caesars as well. Heidi Fleiss puts new twist on Nevada brothels. Former Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss wants to bring male prostitution to southern Nevada and what she's called a stud farm. I think the goof is signed up to be her first stud in Rolando. That'd be the Walmart stud farm. As the I-Team first reported in May, the so-called Hollywood madam was considering a number of different places to start a brothel in Nevada. Now she has decided to settle down in a brothel in Crystal and offer male prostitutes. Crystal is a town 20 miles north of Pahrump, which has brothels of its own. So, interesting. Where the hell's our caller? Where's Dan Reel? Is his phone working today? Yeah? All right, hope he'll be calling here. Yeah, it's working. All right. poll, more Americans want off world stage. The public's belief that the United States should mind its own business internationally has reached levels not seen since after the Cold War ended more than a decade ago. A poll has found. Opinion leaders from various parts of society are less likely to feel the United States should be the most assertive of the leading nations. No kidding. Why are we running around minding our own business? We should only get involved in some kind of huge disaster, or it's proven that the world can't solve it. You know, according to the poll by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, anxiety about the war in Iraq is likely a big reason for the shift in attitudes after the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Public attention to international spiked upward, and now the poll found that 42% of the public said in the United States mind its own business internationally, and up 30% who felt that way in 2002, and comparable to the mid-1970s and after Vietnam. Absolutely. I mean, we got to get out of that thing in Iraq. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is from Thursday. Stewart's child to marry Laguna star. Kimberly Stewart will wed Talon Torriero, or well, he is one of the stars of MTV's reality series Laguna Beach. Stewart, the 26-year-old daughter of singer Rod Stewart, and Torriero, 19, are engaged. People magazine reported Thursday. Torriero's spokesman confirmed the couple's plans to the magazine. He also confirmed the engagement to Us Weekly, saying we're getting married. They announced their surprise engagement Wednesday at a evening at a Los Angeles party for Microsoft's Xbox. Stewart flashed a 5-carat diamond engagement ring, according to People magazine. Stewart and Terrero, who have been dating for several weeks, were recently in the news as the backseat passengers of Paris Hilton when she was involved in a minor car accident November 9th. No one was hurt. That's that when she, who's that, what's his name, the shipping guy, Stavros, somebody smashed up her car underneath the truck there. Yeah, what was his name, Stavros? So, Stewart is a close friend of Hilton's and was at one point reported to be a possible replacement to Nicole Richie on the canceled reality show The Simple Life. So, that's good. I thought they canceled that show. I heard it's shopping around to somebody else to pick it up now. Probably MTV, huh? Dog saves family from fire. Fire flared up twice. A Danvers family is crediting a dog with alerting them to a fire that destroyed their home. News Center 5's Jim Boyd reported that the fire first broke out Monday night, but flared up again Tuesday morning, destroying the house. The dog wouldn't stop barking, and I heard a noise, weird noise, and I thought it was a thunder and lightning at first, and I finally got the courage to open the door, and smoke came pouring in. You hear more about these fires in the wintertime. So the dog was rescued by firefighters, and now the dog is staying with firefighters or at neighbors' homes. And we had the Senate passes a $60 billion tax bill, which is ironic because, you know what, they did that, and it's tax deductions, and there's also, what was the other thing, tax cuts, and then they approved something else. Man, they're giving us tax cuts, and they're $50 billion in some kind of spending. The Senate passed a $60 billion bill early Friday. It would extend expiring tax cuts and prevent roughly 14 million families from paying higher taxes through the alternative minimum tax. It drew a presidential veto threat for raising taxes on oil companies. Much of the bill passed 64-33 after midnight, preserves tax cuts approved in the previous years that had set to expire unless lawmakers keep them alive. I call this bill the Tax Increase Prevention Act, said Rick Santorum. So they're cutting the taxes left and right, you know, I mean, and then their spending's going up, yet they're cutting taxes. Yeah, it makes no sense. The bill also would offer $7 billion assistance to businesses and individuals hit by Hurricane Katrina and other storms. Among other provisions extending in the bill are deduction for state and local taxes, investment for small, I mean, on and on and on. My God, you know, who's paying these debts off? Where can we pay these debts, you know? So, I don't know. It's just driving me nuts. Who's in the chat room? Anybody in the chat room? Is our guest there? Oh, and I think we're joined by Dan Real, The Real World View. Dan, you there, sir? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, sir. Welcome.
Good to talk to you again. I was down in your chat room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was reading the news, and I get enthralled in that. Usually I try and get stay in the chat room there. But you found the number, obviously, because you called in.
Yeah, through the website.
And
someone in the chat room said, look on the site.
Oh, well, I had emailed you, too. Did you get it, or?
You sent me the email with the phone number, but it didn't have the phone number in it. You started talking about something, and I went and I got it about 2 minutes ago, and I'm like, you didn't put the damn phone number in it.
You should put it on speed dial. You're a semi-regular. But this is Dan Real, The Real World View blog. And actually, you're evolving into more of a site now, right, huh? You're still a blog?
Yeah, no, it's still a blog. I mean, I'm also, along with that, I'm doing some writing for a crime library.
Yeah.
Starting that. But that's, like, off my site. But I'm still, you know, there's, the chats, I guess we're like up to 300. I just opened up 315 tonight.
Wow, very good.
And that's usually somewhere between 500 and 1,000.
Wow. And then, and the top of your blog right now is Pajamas Media. Now, what's going on? It was open source, open source media?
I'm not part of that.
No, no, but you talk about it a little bit, because it's a big deal in the blogging community that the...
Well, it is, and who knows? I mean, I think it's an interesting thing. Look, blogging has to evolve. Mm-hmm. That's certain. And how that's going to happen and how it's going to change and how blogs may come together to provide a better media, if you will, is still up in the air. And open source is Pajamas Media, depending on which day it is.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed the name 3 times now. I don't know if you understand the whole way it went down. But they got like $3.5 million in capital behind them.
Wow.
And Roger Simon and Charles Johnson from Little Green Football started it. And I wish them the best. I mean, I've been banging on them pretty hard. So a lot of people. But that's the nature of the blogosphere, too. I mean, you take your lumps. You're right out there. I wish them well. And they're both very accomplished people in life. I mean, Roger Simon's an author, and Charles Johnson is a musician and a computer programmer. These aren't slouches, and they don't have slouch money behind them. The guy behind them is a multimillionaire, or at least the lead investor.
Mm.
So they have some clout there. How it, you know, really what they've been, there's two parts to it. There's an advertising network as well as a content portal, if you will, for weblogs. And really where they've been getting hammered is more on the content portal. I'm not involved with their advertising network. That has nothing to do with me, but it's more or less the content. It's like, okay, if you're going to put this site out there and represent in some ways being a blog site, you know, a professional blog site, then you're going to wind up, you know, there's a million people blogging. Half a million aren't going to like no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So you're going to, you know, you're going to get hit from the start.
Mm.
And that's really what it's about. And some of the bloggers are crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of them. And we are, I think you have very large egos trapped behind computer screens with keyboards. And so a lot of stuff comes out through that medium at times. And it appears more than it is, but we're all nervous, I think, not because of them, but because, okay, what's going to go next? I mean, I've already been in discussions with a few groups about where we're, you know, where I'm going to take what I'm doing and merge that with some other things, and so everybody's really kicking around ideas, and so when someone gets out of the chute like that, It's you know, and I, it's going to cause some waves. I've been blogging as part of the Blogger News Network for months, so they're not the first by any means.
No, but they got the money, and they got all the, you know, they got the, what's his name, does his own radio show, Hugh Hewitt, and a couple of the others.
Well,
you know.
Hewitt's not part of it.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, see, that's the thing. A Powerline is not part of it. You basically have, you know, Instapundit. Len Reynolds is the chairman of the board, and I don't know what, you know, if that's more advisory as opposed to a part of it. I'm sure he's some part of it, but then you have Roger Simon and Charles Johnson. I believe it's just their company.
Hmm.
But what they did was sign up maybe 70-some, it looks, from the blog roll, blogs ahead of time to be part of it. So they're now, you know, kind of, they can feed comment to that site. The reality is, as it stands today, if you go to the site, you get news feeds, and you get, you know, I mean, frankly, today Drudge is a better site, but Drudge doesn't do anything for blogs. So they are beginning to do that, and I think they're going to do a lot more of it, but we'll just have to stay tuned. And in the meantime, you know, some people who aren't with them are going to try and rough them up, and other people are going to come up with different ventures, and it's going to be a fun time, I think.
Well, I mean, there's so many of these blogging companies out there now. I mean, I had on Duncan Riley, who, what's that, B5 Media, wherever it is now. You know, so they got their own company going, but, you know, they're merging all these blogs, and they just merged with somebody with About Blogs, like about.com.
Right.
Had blogs, so they're merging with them. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I sent in my thing. I never got a response back from them. So I'm like, oh, I guess they don't want my program.
The biggest knock, I think, against them from a lot of people is a certain, they came about it with a certain arrogance, or at least it appeared so. And there's really no call for it, because they're not as substantive as they may be. If you take a collection of, you know, you have to understand, if you go, I mean, I'm probably, in terms of the TLB rankings, in terms of traffic, I'm probably like 46th or 40-something in that range, at least I was last I looked. So that's the top 40 blogs. The first 10 blogs are maybe anywhere from Kyle's, who could be, who knows, I mean, hundreds of thousands of hits a day, down to about 100,000 when you get down to around Michelle Malkin. From there, it drops off quickly to 20, 30, 40, and I'm in that range, down to the 40, you know, 40 top 50 blogs. And then from there, before you get to 100, you're talking 1,000 or 2,000 readers.
Yeah.
So there's really not a ton of highly trafficked web blogs. Mm. And because such a large number of them joined up early with this Pajamas Media, I think it caused a little more, you know, concern. But then again, when you look at that, you have to understand that that's just, that's such a small portion of the millions and millions of blogs that are out there. And 1 or 2 years from now, who knows where it's going to go. I'm convinced that the political blogging that goes on today is going to become the tail, not the dog. And the dog is going to be everything from arts to news to crime to all the things that people pay attention to all the time. You know, as a, you know, there's only a certain sector of the population that are political junkies.
Well, and then actually on your blog right now, you talk about Deborah Lefebvre, guilty. She did a plea bargain today. Is that correct?
Yeah, she did a plea bargain, and she's going to be under house arrest.
Mm.
But it's my understanding she's not even going to wear the collar the full time. I was just actually listening to an interview with her former husband, who's still kind of perplexed. They asked, you know, they said, well, has she told you why she did it, you know? And he's like, well, yeah, she told me a few different things I don't really know. And But he said she didn't, you know, I guess what, she had had a sister killed in a car accident.
Well, that doesn't give you any excuse to rape a, was a 14-year-old boy, for crying out loud, you know?
No, no, the whole thing just puzzles me. But you know, and I don't know what the, I don't know what's going on. I mean, is this the hallmark of the women's liberation movement? Because we never were. We just hearing about it today. Because frankly, let's face it, we never used to hear about it.
No, I think it's this media we're in that right now. We're hearing all this stuff. Like the same thing with the, my thing with the priests and the you know, the sex abusing priests. We're hearing everyone that happens now. We see it on the news.
Yeah, but I mean, you went well. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't go to Catholic school. I didn't, but I can. I just think back to school, and I just can't recall even any seeing anything that gave me. I mean, it's got to be societal in some way. It just has to be because you know how we're changing. Because I don't think it was as prevalent. I really don't.
No, it's I say. So where were all these hot teachers when I was in school? I had all
that's what I'm
saying. All the fat asses teaching me.
But that's the, you know, that's the dilemma here that you get hung up on is because you know. If someone's going to call you out on it, you're called dead to rights on a double standard, and it is a double standard. But at the same time, I know what I was like when I was 16. Mm. Like if I had a hot teacher and she wanted to whatever, well, you know, whatever, bring it on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and you know, that we would react entirely the opposite way if this was a 16-year-old girl or a 14-year-old girl, even worse. And 14-year-old boy, I mean, that's, you know, I said 16. I mean, once you start getting out 15, 14, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's a little young. But the 15, but 16, maybe, but still, I mean, it's amazing. I think a lot of it goes to point that this boy probably did not want to testify because he knew what kind of hell he's going to go through probably for the rest of his life, you know, in school and unless the family moves him out. I mean, it's got to be, you know. But
it's tough, and I think that's why, you know, we have to, even though some feelings may be there in terms of, oh, it was a boy, it was a woman, you know, I think we have to fall back on the law and we have to be consistent across the sexes.
True.
I mean, that's the only way to be fair about it.
Yeah, you can't let him go because it was a guy. And if, like you said, if you have a 15, 16-year-old girl and a 42-year-old male teacher having sex with her, we'd be stringing him up from the highest tree.
Exactly.
You know?
And it's her bad. I mean, let's face it. She's the one that should know better. I mean, you can't fault her. I'm not going to fault a kid for having his hormones take off.
No,
but
she's married and a teacher. You know?
Yeah, she's put in a position. I mean, that's the danger there is that we lose sight of. I mean, come on, we've already got enough issues in and around education in our country. But if we start, you know, we can't afford to lose sight that these people are responsible for other people's children. And, you know, some mothers, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't care. Some, you know, but certainly some do. And I think that the norm, or at least the law, dictates that you act responsibly. So,
I don't know. It's crazy.
I guess Cara Betts in the news, right?
Yeah, and you sent me the email about the Nanali Holloway business, the untold story.
Yeah, that's the story that no one will tell about this case, and I can understand why it's not being told, but it's so frustrating because it makes the whole thing so sad.
Hmm. You're talking about the billionaire prince with Alawid bin Talal.
Oh, well, that's just that, you know, that there is a Saudi prince who owns 5% of Fox News. I'm not suggesting that that's why they're doing what they're doing. What they're doing to chase ratings. But if you go back and look at the reality of, if you could turn the page back 6 months ago, I can tell you step by step exactly why we got where we are today. And I don't mean in terms of it not just being solved. That is the $64,000 question.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very good reason to think that we haven't, or that people haven't even focused in on the right elements or areas anyway. The whether the boys are guilty or not, or whether Joran's guilty or not, I'm not saying he's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying there's no evidence that he is. And if you look at what happened, America would not be feeling the way about this case that they do today if Fox had been responsible in their reporting. Because I remember the night when Geraldo Rivera went on TV and said that this suspect, and this was 2-3 weeks into this thing, no one knew anything yet. And he basically came out and said, well, the 18-year-old Dutch youth, Joran, has been circulating, selling child porn tapes. I mean, he said that on our national television without a shred of evidence. What that eventually came out to be 3 months later was when they rearrested this Max Aarons and some other kids because there was a CD made, and that was over a year or two ago, and it showed some girls, young girls, in thongs and things, and one of the girls complained the pictures had been put on the internet and then taken down, but it was actually put into a CD, on a CD, and people were selling it, but it wasn't, at least as I understand it, it wasn't necessarily pornographic, although it could have been, but it was a party.
Yeah, it's like the Girls Gone Wild type of videos.
Exactly,
yeah.
Only young kids, and on male and female.
Mm.
And that, as near as I can tell, is the only thing that would ever result in that type of a statement by Geraldo, which he clearly didn't know at that time, and he's never been held accountable to that. You know, in other words, where you know, you went on television. If these people lived in the United States right now, Fox would be in court. They can only get away with libel because these people live outside of the United States. And the fact of the matter is, there was nothing to it. But when you look at the origin of that, and what I talked about was this Manshore family, what happened, if you can back up a second and say Natalie goes missing, okay, that's terrible, and no one has any answers, and the family comes down there, and the media comes down there. Well, from the beginning, and I've got this from multiple people on the ground, talking to both reporters, people close to the family, Josie Manshore went out of his way to saddle up next to people and start talking. Oh, Joran is this. Oh, he's raped girls. Oh, he brags. Oh, there's credit lines at the casino. There's this. And I can't attribute every particular statement to him. But Diario, his newspaper, is in essence the you know, it's
like the Inquirer of Aruba, huh?
Something like that. Mm. He stokes up. There are two populations in Aruba. I mean, you have this island population, and a portion of it is very tuned in to Josie. He's like the Fox News, if you will. You know, not the good Fox News, but the late night, you know, the Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah, you know, the Rita Cosby, Greta Van Susteren.
Nancy Grace, you know.
Yeah.
If I ever get rich, I'm going to hire to kind of guard my house. Yeah, I mean, who would come near your door with that on the porch?
Well, she's been all over the story. I mean, and all the cable channels are guilty of this because, you know, you see, what's her name? She was on Dr. Phil, Natalie's mother. What's her name? Natalie Holloway's mother?
Beth.
Yeah, she was on Dr. Phil, and then he's getting involved.
What do you know? I don't know if it's been out yet. It's just starting to leak out. I think she made Barbara Waters top 10 most fascinating people.
Oh, Beth Holloway?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding
me. See, Beth Twitty.
Oh.
Allie Holloway, not so much.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Beth Twitty is the most fascinating. Why is she so fascinating? Because her daughter is missing? That makes her fascinating?
Listen, I'm not going to begrudge any parent who loses a daughter or a child who doesn't do everything they can to find her. The problem you have, I don't want to bang on the family here.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe, more or less, at least as far as I can tell, is that, look, you go down to Aruba, your daughter's missing, and there's language barriers. There's certainly reason to question the police and the authorities. So what do you want? You want a friend. You want an ally. If somebody starts telling you exactly what you want to hear and leading you to believe that they have answers, I mean, come on, Josie Manchure produced a witness who saw them dump the body in the landfill. Now, fact of the matter is, this Skeeters fellow, Bragg's, one of his points of contention is that he gave that guy a lie detector test and he failed.
Hmm.
So we know that witness was bogus.
Hmm.
Another witness saw him in a car by the racquetball club that we watched for a week while they drained a lake because Josie's witness, who disappeared in the middle of the thing to Venezuela and then came back. And all these people, by the way, have, not all, but most have links. I mean, there's a gardener involved who, from what I've been told, works for someone in the Manchure family.
Hmm.
So this whole thing was kind of, you know, and he kept coming up. I mean, come on. How can you put a guy on TV every night as credible when you've drained a lake on basically one of his witnesses? There was nothing there. You've debunked a witness who caused people to dig for days through a landfill.
Yeah.
Josie's brother, Eduardo, who I believe is either in Venezuela or I think Bolivia, was on the island digging next to the father. And if you Google these names and put in Manchure smuggling Aruba, you'll be directed to sites by the State Department, the Dutch Intelligence Service. These people have reputations.
That's amazing, you know, because he was on O'Reilly a lot of times too, wasn't he?
And
O'Reilly had him on.
Right. Now, what happened was initially going back. I mean, first off, if you go all the way back to the 40s, the Manchure family was out of Lebanon, and they had, at that time, at least according to reports. I mean, I'm not claiming this firsthand. I'm talking about what you read in some legitimate documents. And certainly, once you come up to the, I mean, in 2001, our State Department said, in effect, that the Manchure family or enterprise, which they doesn't mention Josie's name, was found to be funneling funds to Hezbollah.
Hmm.
Now that's in 2001. That's not that long ago.
Yeah.
So, and that from smuggling activities, things of that nature. Now this is common knowledge. Anyone right now can go to Google and put in, you know, Manchure and so forth and Aruba and find this stuff. I'm not, you know, this is not. And then I'm talking about, like I said, it's a State Department report. There are other reports. Sometime some years ago, the Dutch Intelligence Service, a report got leaked, and it named Josie specifically as being involved in trafficking or, you know, smuggling, being suspected of being a high-level operator.
Mm.
He filed suit and claimed his human rights were violated. And that's what that record is online. So you know that this is true. This happened. I mean, the legal paperwork is right out there. So you have a person who has a dubious background, let's put it that way. He hates the Dutch and the controlling party, the MEP. He's got a grudge, just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to no end embarrassing him. At the same time, what a lot of people don't realize, especially who bang Holland all the time, is that, you know, they've got over, 2,000 troops in Iraq. They've been there since day one.
Mm.
They're one of our strongest allies in the world on terror, in the war on terror. In terms of Aruba, they cooperate with the DEA. We've got an advanced operating base there now, so we can try to get a handle on the drug trafficking out of Venezuela, Bolivia, Colombia. So on the other side, you have Josie, who is very political and is... I believe it's the AVP party. I'm not as good on... I know MEP is in power, which Beth Twitty even said something negative about before the election, which I thought was ludicrous. I mean, that would be like someone having a child here and, you know, blaming the Republicans versus the Democrats. In any event, you had... You know, you got Josie kind of on the outside. Not the outside, but power shifts there. He has absolute motivation to embarrass the Dutch as much as he can. And he, in part, by a lot of the stuff he's saying, is giving people more fuel for this so-called boycott than anything. Now, people say, well, why would someone want to have their own island boycotted? Because the party in power down there is who's going to suffer, not Josie Mansour.
Oh, yeah, they'll throw him out now because the boycotts, Riley's on here.
The economy tanks, the elections come up.
They'll throw him out.
Throw him out, and guess who gets into power? The people behind or that Josie Mansour supports. So he, at least looking at the record, I mean, if you take, you hear Beth Twitty talking about the boys' statements, they said this, they said that. Do you understand under Dutch law, she cannot have any such statements. They are not public knowledge. They're not released. Now, I did have somebody from Aruba tell me 4 months ago, before all this started, that Josie Mansour had the whole police file because of his connections in the police department. All of a sudden, Beth Holloway has copies of transcripts from interrogations that are not signed by the suspects. No one's ever seen them. Some people have said that they were basically torn and thrown away as garbage, and someone retrieved them.
And she's not supposed to have those things, right?
No, they're, well, it doesn't matter if she has them because they're not legitimate. They've never been signed. From one of the stories I got from a contact in Aruba who would know about this was that, you know, when they interrogate somebody, they would pressure him, in Joran's case, maybe for hours and say, you know, if he, let's say they tried to get him to say he killed her, and he said, no, I didn't kill her. So then they'll try another tact, and they'll say Deepak killed her, didn't he? Deepak raped and murdered her. So one story I had heard specifically was that they had kind of been on him for hours. Deepak killed her. Deepak killed her, didn't he? Come on. And supposedly he finally at one point just said, fine, if that's what you want me to say, Deepak raped her and murdered her after I left, okay? Are you happy? So they wrote it up. Police signed it. They put it in front of the kid, and the kid says, I'm not going to sign that. So now, miraculously, these statements, alleged statements, turn up in the hands of the mother who is talking, who I have respect for. I feel bad for her suffering. But if that's how those statements came to be, nobody has a right to stand on television and claim them to be the statements of somebody where there's no real evidence.
Yeah, she's been kind of going off on these like tangents, you know, and then Dr. Phil, I mean, Dr. Phil did some kind of undercover thing where he was saying that he believes she was spotted in Natalie was spotted in Mexico or something. It's
Now, come on, now, how stupid is this?
Yeah.
Now, put this together. He goes on Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And says he had guys going after Natalie in Mexico, and the situation got so dangerous he had to pull him out. Now, anyone with half a mind, if there's anything serious to that, and you go on Jay Leno and say that, you just signed her death warrant. So, I mean, he's a sham. He should be ashamed of him.
Yeah, and then he did all that undercover footage, and they're looking for Natalie. I'm like, oh, my, this is so bad.
I couldn't even watch it. I mean, what... I don't get it. I just
ratings. You know, it's all he cares about. And then he brings on Beth, and I'm like, oh, what's this woman doing on Dr. Phil? I know she's trying to keep her daughter's story out there, but Dr. Phil, I mean, it's like going on Oprah, you know?
It's worse.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I can tell, it's just sad because, and you notice when this happened, sweeps month.
Yeah.
Sweeps month. I mean, I look, and I know for a fact, I I wrote this whole thing out, and I sent it to somebody at Fox News who I had been talking to. And I told him, I got so angry one night, and this was months ago. I said, you want to know the truth here? And I wrote it right out, and I said, here's everything I know, because I knew where they were, what they were talking about. And immediately after that, they cut me off. They would not talk to me again.
Amazing.
I know it's not because they thought I was crazy, because I know I'm not.
I've
talked to too many people who have been on the ground down there, and all these stories that came out, when there were still journalists down there, there were people for different newspapers, there were people for magazines, they chased all these things down. There was nothing to them.
Yeah, it's like Current Affair chased all these stories down, too, and where they're at now. They're off the air, and Geraldo's on with his new program.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I guess he got his brother, you know.
Yeah, he got to keep his brother employed. Now he also.
He went out. Didn't you hear that? I mean, the first two nights they went out to that. The lawyers, Pam Vittal, was murdered in California.
Oh.
I think the second night out there, Geraldo's brother got arrested for DWI.
Oh, you're kidding me.
You didn't hear that on the show, did you?
No, we didn't hear that. Oh, no. Geraldo.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
He needs another collagen implant in his forehead. He's getting his stress wrinkles are getting too bad on his forehead. He needs more injection. But then you have a story about Kara Beth Borden, too, about the she had no role in this murder. But then that she ran off willingly with the boy, though. Doesn't that kind of make her an accessory to this?
Well, you know as well as I do from watching things that any defense lawyer is going to just go into court and say, oh, my God, this girl was traumatized.
Yeah.
You know, everything in her life was taken from her. And I don't want to be mean to her, but that's the defense. And it's probably going to fly. You put a 14-year-old girl out there and she starts crying. But, you know, that's so strange. I mean, I've decided, you know, you know what I think? Is that the heart of that case? I think it was cow manure.
Cow manure.
You can't drive in that part of the country where they are.
Oh, yeah.
I used to drive out there a lot.
Mm.
It's right near Amish country.
Mm.
And they use natural fertilizer. So all spring and summer and fall, when you drive that route, you can't smell anything but fertilizer. And I think it's starting to work on the kids out that way.
Well, yeah, it's like these weirdos, they come up from that part of the country, you know, like, you know, the 18-year-old, I can see, you know, the parents didn't want the older guy dating their young daughter. I mean, she was a beautiful girl. She looks beautiful in the picture. It's a blonde and everything. And then, you know.
Well, it creates a lot of conflicts because they were both, from all accounts, religious families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, this was going on, and you should go. And someone you should have on sometime is Steve Huff. He's a blog buddy of mine at The Dark Side. He's doing a lot. He's writing for Crime Library also. And he's been on Nancy Grace a lot. He's been, because he really gets into these kind of psycho mind murder things. And he did a story on his blog. It's The Dark Side blog. And you can find the link on my blog roll. Or just Google Steve Huff and you'll see The Dark Side blog, Steve Huff, H-U-F-F. And he did a thing called The Barn. And at the same time this was going on, I think back during the summer, he was, the boy, had taken the second floor loft in his barn and was turning it into a house of God. Now, there was a lot of stuff online that in order to access this place, you had to show your face and receive the countenance of God.
What
and
in the world? Where was this at?
Well, it's written up on Steve Huff's blog,
but
it was a barn.
It was just a barn.
He was given the second floor, and he was turning it into a church, if you will. So at the same time, and it was supposedly, if you read the stuff online, Steve Huff has it documented.
Mm.
You know, look for it, Steve Huff, the barn, and it's all about worshiping in this loft, if you will, and only certain people were allowed, and you had to follow conventions and all this to get access to it. And it was just starting to take off, I guess.
Mm.
But at the same time, he's dressing in black with a friend and stalking around through the neighborhood armed and casing houses. And, you know, now they've got 6 or 8 videotapes. They've subpoenaed all the phone and computer records between the two, so there's all kinds of stuff. You know, there's a lot more to come out there.
Yeah, they're talking about guns. They pulled 58 guns out of the house Ludwig's house.
Well, it's Pennsylvania. I mean,
yeah, well,
I don't live that far from Newark, and I keep up to you.
Really? I only got one in my house, but also you're talking about Bush be impeached. Boy, what do you think of that whole Murtha blow up, huh?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what angers me about that is that I don't have a problem with anybody who's against the war and was against the war from the start.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't know what other word to say because I really struggled with, you know, are these people disloyal? Are they? I don't want to say they're un-American or they're not patriotic, but damn it, they know the truth. They know that the intelligence was what it was.
Yeah.
They know that. Unfortunately, some radical elements in the Middle East represent a swamp that has to be stamped out.
Mm.
And what are we going to do? You know, if we sit here and allow it to fester and fester, it's only going to come back to haunt us. And, you know, some of the... If you really look back to what happened before the Second World War, I mean, when the Second World War was over and the Holocaust had taken place, I mean, one thing Churchill said was, this was all preventable. If people had acted in 37, 38, when the hate was building and murders were just beginning and Hitler was starting to come to power, if people had acted, it could have been stamped out, you know, for less than, well, a half a million lives and whatever it took. And nobody acted. You had Chamberlain, you had Neville, you had this whole movement. That wasn't the part of history. I studied medieval history more than I did that century, but we clearly did the wrong thing by not acting, and we wound up having to fight a cataclysmic war. If we do nothing now, and you wind up with an Iran and a Syria and Iraq, all being wound up under the control of kind of radical regimes, and I'm not talking about Muslims here, I'm talking about radical Islam, which is a whole different issue. If we allow them to gain, again, solid base, even two or three times what they had in Afghanistan, and you have Iran with potential nuclear capability, I mean, damn it, we're going to fight World War III someday, because these people are, you know, determined to, A, wipe Israel off the face of the earth, which the United States is not going to let happen, and they want to fight with the West. I mean, they want to... It goes back to Khrushchev, you know, when he was representing communism and he banged his shoe on a table and said, you know, we will stamp you out. There's a certain element in that radical Islam that is not, it's not, you know, docile. It's not content. It doesn't just want what it has. It believes that it needs to establish a new caliphate throughout Iraq and you know, and that is a centerpiece of it. So it's always been important to them. And to propagate their religion throughout the world.
True. I just think calmer heads need to prevail in Washington, and let's get a sensible strategy going. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think there is one, though. I mean, a general just presented a case. I mean, in all honesty, yeah, it's easy to say, but you know, until we were three quarters of the way through the Second World War, we didn't know who the hell was going to win it or what the strategy was to get out of it. You have to deal with what you have to deal with. And I agree. Look, I've got some issues with the way the thing has been fought, but at the same time, if the generals are saying no, well, if we get more troops, it's really good. My brother's kid was over there. He came back last year. He didn't have any problem. I mean, when I say he didn't have any problems, I mean his life was at risk. He wasn't complaining about the way the war was fought. He didn't feel bad about being there. He felt pretty damn good about being there.
True.
Contrast that with another kid in our family who just came back. He's in Italy. With the Navy, he took time and went to France on a vacation with some of his buddies, and the cab drivers wouldn't even pick them up.
Huh, amazing.
Because they were American servicemen. So, you know, and from what I know, yeah, things are antsy over in Iraq. I mean, I was talking to my nephew, and it's like, you know, he's like, yeah, for the first few months, you know, we were giving out cookies and chewing gum until people started getting blown up. And now, you know, now we got a gun in our hand when someone's walking up with a stick of gum. But that's part of it. And they still, everyone I've talked to, and I've talked to more than a few people who've been there, feels like, you know, we're doing the right thing here. And that's what I was getting to about the politicians is, look, come on, don't do this to win an election in a year from now. There are bigger causes.
True. You know, well, we got to start paying down this deficit and, you know, getting our fiscal house in order, too, you know.
Well, that's where I have issues with Bush. I mean, let's face it, he hasn't been a strong fiscal conservative. We had the whole, you know, he brought some of this on himself. He had the whole debacle with Harry and Myers, you know, where he alienated, which I was fine with. I mean, honestly, I'm not a rabid right-wing conservative, and if he... I felt the same way as I did when Clinton was. Look, it's the president's job to appoint this person. Let them go through the confirmations hearing. If she's retarded, she's not going to make it on the court.
Yeah.
If she's competent and professional
then
and
she'll
answers
make it.
The questions, then she deserves to be there because it's his appointment, not
Absolutely.
Ours.
Absolutely.
That can't, you know, now we're in a position where we can't do that anymore. We have to politicize everything.
Yeah. Well, and Dan, we're almost out of time here.
Oh, okay.
Because I got my science fiction segment coming up next. So,
sorry for rambling.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I always like talking to you. So I'll have to bring you on maybe in a week or two. Add you to our regular stable here. All right?
Yeah.
All right.
Good talking with you again, and I hope to hear from you. I want to talk to you about the thing in the email with some of the other folks.
Very good. Thank you.
Take care. Take care.
Thank you. And that was Dan Real, therealworldview.com. Sorry, I didn't look at the clock. I was reading all the news and everything. Kind of got into the discussion. Sorry. Where were you at?
I told you like 10 minutes ago.
I was reading everything. He's got a lot of stuff in his blog. I'm reading, trying to keep up because he's talking about this Mansoor guy, and it's a lot of reading. I'm trying to read it all. Anyway, I'll be back. We'll play a couple songs, and then we'll get to our SF Science Fiction Buzz from the Science Fiction Buzz.com web.net website. Thank you. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
gonna own ya. Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
The humans remain entertained until the end.
Ah, I thought I'd let it play out a little bit. Oh, you missed that old theme, you know? Ooh, that's the extended version. Welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. We're waiting our call from Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website, and we'll go through the latest in sci-fi. One thing I want to mention, that Claudia Black is officially going to be part of the cast of SG-1 next season. Of course, remember she was in several episodes of this past season, but now she's going to be on the cast officially. So they're loading up SG-1. They got a little shot of life there with the new storyline that they're doing, and Ben Browder. So it's good for them. It's the longest, I think they said it's going to be the longest running sci-fi show in television history. It's going to be Stargate SG-1. So, but we'll see. When Biznatch was doing the show, Mark, you know, I watched it for a while, and I got so too corny and hokey and all that. But then this season, you know, because on Friday I sit through it, suffer through all that for Galactica, the show's got more serious, more religion themed, the mythology is starting to show up. There we go. I think we'll be joined by I think that's going to be Judy from ScienceFictionBuzz.com. Judy, you there?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, what do you think of the music we're playing for you? Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Ah, the old Galactica music. There you go. That's her little tribute.
Oh, my God.
Don't you like it?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Can you hear it?
Uh-huh.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yes, there it is.
There you go. So, welcome to the program. Welcome back. We haven't talked to you in a while.
No, not in a while.
Welcome you back. And first of all, I was mentioning about Claudia Black joining the cast officially of SG-1. I got it here off your website, sciencefictionbuzz.com.
Yes.
It's good news. She was real popular on the show, huh?
She was extremely popular, and mm-hmm. she was so popular that they actually brought her back for a full-time role.
Wow.
Which they hadn't planned on when they had first gone into this.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to bring her back. And I was telling Con here that the SG-1's going into its 10th season, the longest running.
It's gone into its 10th season, and everybody signed back on for all three of the Sci-Fi Friday shows.
Yeah. So they signed on for SG-1 and Atlantis, and then Galactica is coming back. I got that off your website as well, that Sci-Fi has officially renewed Battlestar Galactica for season 3.
And then definitely.
Then I read somewhere else that they're talking about the season 2 ending cliffhanger in March is going to be something that's going to that Sci-Fi, I guess, when the Moore and them pitched it, they said they did a double take. It was in USA Today, I think it was last Friday, I think it was. We're talking about Galactica.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and they did a double take, and I guess where the cliffhanger is going to be, they said it's going to reset the clock for the whole series.
Yes, it is.
I wonder what that's going
to be. So, we're all waiting with bated breath on that one.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? I mean, what can they do to reset the, you know, because Olmos has said he won't do anything that's too hokey, too Star Trek-ish, you know, with the time, you know, the space-time continuum and, you know, the riffs and all that. He won't do anything like that, so unless they're going to do something else, I don't know, huh?
Well, I'm not sure what he's going to do, but everybody's trying to find the spoilers for that one.
Oh, yeah, Koenig Rules. I don't know where he's been. He's usually been my spoiler man, but he hasn't given me nothing lately. I think his source is in trouble for giving us all the spoilers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, because I spoiled the Pegasus deal and who was going to be the commander. I spoiled all that. I think maybe they got mad. You know?
Yeah, you probably gave away too much, but we loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. And then actually, I want to talk about, Anim, bring you into the science fiction fantasy currently shown in the USA. And Anim, I can't get into that Anim.
But you can't get into anime?
I can't. I mean, the only show I was able to get into was anime. Is that how you pronounce it? Anime or the anime? Anime.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have Hangbok here, who's my expert anime person.
Ah.
Because she's very much into it. She's going to be going to Japan next year.
Really?
And yes, she's studying Japanese right now.
Wow.
She can say a few words.
Okay.
On anime.
Anime.
And probably make us both look good.
Yeah, very good.
Hold on one second. Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Hangbok.
Hangbok. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I work for the Buzz.
Thank you. Now, you work for the Buzz. Very good. Now, anime. Now, and anime is really getting bigger than ever before because in our bookstore here at Borders, there's a whole section of anime. Now, is it as popular as it seems to be, anime?
Well, anime is kind of a very general term. Because for a long time, the Japanese, it was cheaper for them to produce animated work as general dramas and movies than it was to do live action. Hmm. So as a consequence, anime kind of suffuses everything from light romances to deep to science fiction to fantasy. It basically encompasses all genres.
Wow.
So to say you like anime is basically to say you like television.
Hmm. Really?
So
well, it's
lots
more
of people.
Well, anime is cartoons, right? It's cartoons.
Yes, it's cartoons in the sense that it's animated, but it's animated for various age levels. So there's cartoons that you would basically be synonymous to cartoons in America.
True.
Like in the sense that they're basically marketed towards children and young children.
Well, anime.
And then there's more sophisticated ones.
Yeah, anime is what we usually get like in the Adult Swim there on the Cartoon
exactly.
Network, right? And then the first Speed Racer, he was like an anime, wasn't he? That was a Japanese cartoon, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and then I used to watch when I was a kid, Star Blazers. I thought that was excellent. Now, that was
Star Blazers was one of the classics.
Yeah, that's Spaceship.
And Robotech. You watched Robotech?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get into Robotech.
I didn't get into Robotech.
No, I'm sorry. I did not get into Robotech.
I think Robotech is more popular in Europe than it is here.
Oh, that was con. Yeah, is it? Yeah, I couldn't get into Robotech. Now, Star Blazers, yes.
It's kind of like Voltron.
Really?
Isn't it?
I don't know. I never got into Voltron either.
It's in the same vein.
Really?
I think my favorite scene from Robotech was the scene where they basically retrofitted the ship, but they hadn't made it to the point where the anti-grav units would stay in the ship, so there was a point where they were trying to make the ship take off, and the anti-grav units just kept going, and the ship stayed.
I lived in Europe for 2 years, and Robotech
was huge.
And Voltron were pretty huge.
Voltron, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Now, what's the hottest anime thing right now in the United States?
In the United States? That's a tough one. I would say that Naruto is really coming up, which is a feel-good anime with ninja.
Really?
Yes. It's incredibly popular in Japan, and it's recently licensed in the United States and is running on Cartoon Swim. And I know that one's incredibly popular. I think if you're looking towards one that's going to grow in popularity, that is something that you can definitely keep an eye on, is Naruto.
Wow. And then, I read years ago going to anime a little bit, but they're going to make a movie of Star Blazers, the Spaceship Yamato. Whatever happened to that idea?
It's probably still in production.
I mean, it was supposed to be like a live action, because that show was excellent. It's like a soap opera cartoon. They went through the Earth was blasted with something, and the only way to save the Earth, they had to go off in some planet, where the hell it was, way off out there to get some whatever it was to save the Earth. Blue Comet, too, right?
Is that the ship?
Exactly. Well, honestly, we will actually be putting up all, since there's an expressed interest in that, I will definitely take some time to research it for our anime section on Science Fiction Buzz.
Ah.
So that we can get everybody in and plugged into the new news and what's going on with
Absolutely.
The Star Blazers.
Absolutely. Like Star Blazers.
Is that the ship with the...
It was an American
cannon in the front. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
it was like underwater.
It was the wave motion gun that they'd fire, and it'd take all the energy on
it. It had the short captain with the little captain's hat.
Well, the old guy died halfway through the series, the season, the first season. He was like Adama.
The reason I remember that.
It was
anime
excellent.
Cartoon. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
because the lead character kind of remind me that it was this. The
Cargo?
No.
Oh.
The tall guy.
Oh, I don't know the name of the character. I just know that the captain was like an old like Navy man with a beard and everything, and he died halfway through.
No, the young guy.
He reminded me of Speed Racer. I thought they moved Speed Racer over to Spaceship Yamato.
That's what I was about to say. That's why I remembered the two, because both characters look alike.
Yeah, but it was excellent. I loved that. When I was growing up, I mean, it used to come on at 7 o'clock in the morning in Chicago. You'd watch it every morning because, it was like a soap opera. You had to watch it. They strung out that storyline for the whole season, and then finally when they got back, the Blue Comet was going after them, so they kept going for two more years. It was excellent. So I think you fell asleep.
No, I'm still there. I was just listening to you guys.
No, I thought it was excellent. I thought if anything should have been made into a live action series, that should have been, because the storyline was excellent. So,
well, I'll definitely look into it. I think you guys have more of a general knowledge of Star Blazers than I do.
It's because it's an old, and we're old, two old guys, so that's why we know about this stuff. But I just thought it was excellent. I thought that should have been into a live-action series or a movie or something, because it's got a good story and everybody knows about it. And it'd sell over in Japan, too,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know it's incredibly popular in Japan.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about Battlestar Galactica? Do you like the series?
Oh, my gosh. It's my favorite series on sci-fi right now.
Really? Now, have you heard all my many interviews with all the cast members? No?
I have, yes. I've been keeping up with it on Science Fiction Buzz.
Yes. I've been running a dry spell lately, but in January I've been promised Gata is going to be on. So that's...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm kind of aiming for somebody a little higher, but I guess I'll settle for Gata.
Don't knock Gata.
No.
The only thing I love about Galactica is how well they used characters that would be considered minor.
That's true.
Everybody is well integrated into the plot.
Absolutely.
And gets their chance.
Yeah, it's just like, I've had Aaron Douglas on, and I had Katie Sackhoff. I was kind of hoping, I was going up the cast ranks a little bit. I was hoping to get Mary McDonnell or Olmos on. That would have been nice. Yeah,
that's true, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, you never know. And did you read the TV Guide thing about or the USA Today thing where they say about the season ender is going to be something that's going to reset the clock? And then I guess the network executives did a double take when they heard what's going to happen on the season ender?
I actually did not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They did a whole thing on Friday's Life section of USA Today on the little sidebar there. They had Almost stand there. And it says, Almost to come back to Galactica. They announced that the show's been renewed. And they said that they talk about the cliffhanger, how the one's coming up that's going to reset the clock on the series itself. And then when they pitched Moore and David Icke pitched the idea to the network did a double take. Like, what the hell are you doing? So something huge is coming.
I'm looking forward to it. Battlestar Galactica so far has not disappointed me, and I'm
not
actually a pretty hard person to please.
Yeah, it's excellent series. I agree. They say it's the greatest show on television. It is, because it gives you a little bit of everything. A little bit of comedy, and you get the family thing starting to come together with all the characters, and you got the.
I think it's one of the best dramas running on television at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been completely impressed by every episode.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. And I said the whole Sci-Fi Friday lineup is kind of gotten taken a more serious tone now, because you got the SG-1 has gotten more serious with the religious aspect, and then you got Atlantis has gotten a little more serious as well.
Well, I think people are beginning to recognize that science fiction is actually able to explore so many more aspects of humanity and society, as we know, through a lens that maybe people hadn't really recognized. It gives you the versatility to put a kind of a critical eye even on today's events and what is important to us now, while at the same time doing it in a kind of way that isn't as obvious, isn't as direct, maybe directly analogous. So I think in a way, I feel like people are realizing just the power of science fiction, and that there's so much you can do with science fiction, and instead of just bouncing around the outskirts and just having everyone be happy in space, we're actually able to, like, really do something more.
Yeah, well,
and people want that.
Yeah, they can entertain as well as send a message as well.
Exactly.
They combine the two, which they've been doing. It's been wonderful.
And it's great that people, that science, that's a sci-fi channel especially, has taken the time to really respect, like, the fact that people who watch science fiction are watching it because they want something more.
Yeah. The only thing I wish sci-fi would do would cut the amount of commercials, because, my God,
I know.
Those commercials are horrible, and it's the same ones over and over.
Over and over.
Yeah, I can see, the shows are expensive, I know that, and then the salaries are expensive. Almost of them take up, half the budget with their salary. But, I mean, come on. Especially when they run the opening theme, and then they go to, like 5 minutes commercial break, and they come back and it's like a quick little scene and they're gone for 5 minutes.
Another 5 minute commercial break. I work at a veterinarian's office, and over surgery, actually, I've been keeping everybody in my office abreast of what's going on Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
And the doctor, for over things that we do regularly, not over surgery,
because
of concentration, but the doctor was actually started watching the series, and one thing she said was she actually prefers to have me tell it to her, because then she has to suffer through 100,000 commercial breaks before she gets back to the plot.
Yeah,
I think sci-fi is kind of doing themselves a little bit of a disservice.
Yeah, or you have to wait for the DVD to come out at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
But who can wait for that long?
I don't know if you covered that on the website, but I guess they're going to release the first 10 episodes of the second season by Christmas. Sci-fi is.
Before they even put them out on...
No, just the first 10 that we've seen so far, they're going to release those...
Of the second season, not of the second half of the second season.
No.
That would be great, because I'm getting into making music videos, and I really would like to have the DVD footage for that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be outstanding, but then my thing is that, they'll sell us the first 10, and then when the second 10 are done, I don't know if they'll sell us the second 10, or they'll sell us a package...
20.
Yeah, or the package of the 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we'll see.
Yes, so you end up buying the first 10 twice. I hope you have the good sense not to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, so we'll see. And then, let's see. I don't know if you can stay on the whole time if you want, but...
I might want to pass it back to you.
Okay, all right.
It's been great talking with you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, you'll be on next week then, because this is a weekly segment now, so...
I'm excited already.
All right, thank you.
Here's the
boss here.
She's bubbly.
Here's the imperious leader,
Yes, I'm back.
You're the imperious leader. You're the Cylon god of science fiction.
Yes, I'm the Cylon god.
Of the science fiction buzz.
Thank you very much, Bob, for your anime words. And a bit more.
don't kill her now. She did well. Don't put her out of misery.
She's also a really big Battlestar Galactica fan.
Has she been assimilated? But that's the Star Trek terminology, right?
Yes.
Because resistance is futile to Galactica, right?
Yes.
I think so.
She created all the Battlestar Galactica wallpapers. Thank you, Bach. You can go now.
Outstanding. Now, how about the Superman movie? Now, I saw the sneak peek on CNN Headline News. What the hell's his name? The kid in it. What the hell's his name? They act the new Superman movie.
Yeah.
And they did the old music, and then they had the music was the old music from his first Superman movies, and they had Marlon Brando talking. And now Marlon Brando's dead.
He's been dead since 2004.
Yeah.
But,
how'd they do that, Judy?
They had this whole thing about how Superman, how Bryan Singer has managed to resurrect Brando by going into old archive files, and he's used every trick in the book to resurrect Brando, including voiceovers, things that were on the cutting room floor, he's gathered them back up, things that were involved from New York to L.A., he's gathered those things back up, and he's put it together. And some things, they just use some of the new technology in order to just resurrect him.
Wow.
He's not exactly going to be there, but he'll be Memorex.
Yeah, I thought I was watching. My God, that's Marlon Brando talking, and then it felt like the old movie, like the first of the old movies when he's talking to Kal-El, I sent you my firstborn and all that. I was like, wow.
He found some very interesting outtakes, some of which we're going to see. So he says there's a lot of material to choose from. It's just a matter of putting it all together so that it makes sense. He even has Brando bloopers.
Wow. Interesting.
Yes.
That should be interesting.
And
how do you have Brando bloopers when he's dead? How could he have bloopers in his own? From the original movie.
From the original movie, he found Brando bloopers, and as a result, it's all actually Brando's voice. It's just strung together from various bits and pieces of dialogue that he's found, including a looping tape where he had a looping session in London, and it's like automated dialogue of Brando.
Wow.
Got that in there. I mean, so it's going to be strange to hear him.
Yeah, but actually it's also going to be cool for some of us that's seen those first batch of Superman movies to sit there and see the new one with Brando talking. That kind of gives it a connection between the old movies and the new ones,
Right,
Kind of like with Galactica with Richard Hatch, it's the link between, between the old show and the new show,
True,
and then also you want to talk about the science fiction series on mainstream TV.
Mainstream TV has come into its own. It's like following Sci-Fi Channel because Sci-Fi Channel had such great success with their science fiction series that it looks like mainstream TV in the fall, they came out with all, that's why I said, did I forget anything? They came out with all of these new science fiction shows. I mean, it was like Surface and Invasion and I didn't even know about Threshold, to me was the best one of the quad. And Medium from this year and from last year, my daughter and I watched the really lousy 3D Medium last night.
Oh, how was that? Is that horrible?
I mean, the plot was okay, but the 3D was horrendous.
Yeah.
And we're writing a review for the Buzz about, God, please, get better 3D. Yeah. We saw better 3D at Disney.
Well, then then the Night Stalker was canceled already.
Oh, yeah. When they say the Night Stalker got the steak, he's gone.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of upset Night Stalker fans.
Yeah, and then Threshold was moved from Friday to Tuesday, right?
Friday to Tuesday so somebody could find it.
Yeah, and then he said WB is working on a new Aquaman series. Now we're going to...
Yeah, they're supposedly coming out with a new Aquaman series.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful, Aquaman.
I think they've got the idea that science fiction makes money.
Well, some science fiction, because a couple of these shows are slipping away, right? Because Night Stalker was canceled. Which other one's not doing too well? Well, Threshold, if they moved it, obviously it's not doing too well then, huh?
No, Threshold wasn't doing too well, but they moved it because it's the best one that they've got, actually, and nobody knew about it. Mm. I mean, not to say I'm the whole world, but I never heard of it. And then when I finally started watching it, it was like, wow, this is... really good. It's really much better than some of the others.
It's amazing. Well, and then, you know, the one show, what was that religious show they did? In
That was horrible.
Revelations?
Yeah, that was horrible. Revelation.
So they've been trying. But the networks are trying to stem the tide from people watching their programs going to cable. And then also you had to think about the Triangle miniseries.
Yeah,
that's
supposed to come out December, what is it, December 5th?
Yeah, 5th.
Yeah, we're going back to the Bermuda Triangle
again. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of actors, like pretty well-known actors in
that. Yeah, it's supposed to be an outstanding miniseries.
Sam O'Neill.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Is it Nick Stoltz?
I don't know.
Or what's his name? Stoltz. Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz. Oh, from Mask. Oh, where did that movie? No, he was in that movie with the Alpha Man mask with Cher. What was his name?
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it looks like it's going to be an outstanding movie. Yeah, on the miniseries.
It actually sounds like it's going to be a really good movie. And I really do. It's actually supposed to be a series, so... It's not just going to show up once.
That's going to be a series?
It's supposed to be a series.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting. Now, what is it based on? Now, we had an argument a couple weeks ago about what is this, the Triangle? It's about life inside the Bermuda Triangle? Is that it?
It's about life inside the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. It's about this group of people who go in to investigate what has actually happened in the Bermuda Triangle. And according to the Sci-Fi Channel, they will solve and or resolve what has happened in the Bermuda Triangle.
Really?
Not all that? Yes.
Wow. Well, now In the chat room here, Scully Girl is saying that Triangle is only supposed to be a miniseries. But have you heard it's going to be a series?
No, they're going to do the same thing they did with Battlestar.
Yeah.
They're going to put it on as a miniseries and then see how it does.
Yeah.
And then if it does really well, then they're going to come back, you know.
Yeah, now, what happened to 4400? Did that bomb the second season, didn't it? It didn't do too well.
It bombed the second season, but it's supposed to come back.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know when.
Really?
It's great. Yeah.
Now, what's this Manticore? Manticore, he says, as if the war in Iraq isn't bad enough, we need to add an ancient beast.
Well, that's a movie they're coming out with called Manticore? Which is this ancient beast in Iraq.
Really?
So the soldiers are not only fighting,
they're fighting some beasts.
Terrorists, which we all know about, they're also fighting this thing.
Unbelievable.
As if they didn't already have enough trouble.
Yeah, they'll probably be one of those Saturday night creature feature movies that Sci-Fi runs.
I have a feeling that's just going to go by the boards and keep on going.
And then also, you want to talk about the site being reorganized for easier navigation?
We're reorganizing the site because we put the stuff up in a hasty and enthusiastic manner, which is what we're prone to do because we're not professionals in terms of website design. We're just having a great deal of fun with it. And we went back and we decided to put all the news on one page so that you only had to click on news and you could get your Stargate news, you could get your science fiction news.
Yeah.
We had links to everything. So we've been reorganizing the entire site for ease of navigation and for people to get around. And so that when we started adding things to it, like, for instance, we're going to add the anime, we're going to add some people have requested stuff on Farscape. Firefly has become really hot, and I actually really like the show. So, you know, we're going to be adding stuff about that. And it's not going to be such an arduous uphill thing where we have 50 million tabs running down the side.
Yeah.
So,
that's nice. And also, I want to mention that you had on the sciencefictionbuzz.com that Stan Lee and Ringo Starr are going to team up to be Ringo Starr is going to be a superhero. Can that be? I don't know. I don't know if we're ready for him to be a superhero or not, but I mean, it's interesting. And also, what you want to say? You're adding the anime section, including Naruto, FLCL, and more, right?
Right, we're going to be adding that, and as you can see, Hangbok's very excited about the whole anime thing.
Absolutely.
And she goes backwards, forwards, upwards, and down, along with her and Gunmetal.
If it's as popular and good as she makes it, it's only going to be good things for you. It'll bring more traffic to your site. You
it's going to bring more. As a matter of fact, it already is. What little we've put up has doubled the amount of traffic we have to our site. I had no idea, because I'm not an anime fan.
Neither am I. The only one I watched was Star Blazers, and that was it.
And you're watching one more show than I am.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm listening to the other people who we're having fun with and hanging out with, and they're like always watching this stuff. And
amazing.
They actually went to Otakon. Gunmetal is the person who is in charge of all of the panels for Otakon, and Otakon is one of the biggest science fiction anime conventions on the East Coast. It happens once a year. So he is now in charge of that. So he's bringing over a lot of people, and we're going to be incorporating a lot of that pre-convention stuff coming up into 2006 and when we go to the convention. And a lot, and they're handling that portion of it. God bless. You know, I'm Stargate Battlestar,
yeah, me
Star
too.
Trek.
Any news on the next Star Trek movie? No?
No, nothing yet. Nothing yet. I was over visiting StarTrek.com today looking for news on the next Star Trek movie.
Yeah, and actually, Khan and Scully Girl are pounding the drums to bring Firefly back as a series.
Huh? Yes, yes, that would be great. And I would do it, and I will join them. I absolutely loved Firefly before I saw the movie, and after I saw the movie, I was like, they have to bring this back as a series.
Well, I was a big fan when it first came out on Fox a long time ago, and then they canceled it on me.
Yeah.
And I never saw it, so, you know, I'm new to Firefly, I got hooked on it on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, I was a huge fan. Really? When it first came out, I was like, man, this is... At first, I wasn't too sure what to think of it.
It was different.
It was sci-fi, but it was like kind of
old
like
West.
Old West.
Old West,
but
right.
The characters and the way they interacted was great, and all the characters were great. And, of course, there's a couple hotties in there, so...
That's all he needs. But,
that's
I mean, it was like SG-1 was when it first started with Richard Dean Anderson. He always did those smart aleckly remarks. It was serious, but
I could never watch that.
SG-1?
I could never watch it. I try to watch it, but... When I look at Richard Dean Anderson, I'm like...
Oh, MacGyver?
Yeah, because I was a huge MacGyver fan. I was like, I can't see... I'm like, I'm waiting for him to do something, you know,
really?
like MacGyver.
Now,
I love MacGyver.
Also, before we go, you want to mention about the Breast Awareness. You gave DVDs away for Breast Awareness Month, is that right?
Yeah, we ran a contest for Breast Cancer Awareness
Month.
Breast Cancer Awareness?
What did I say? Breast Awareness.
That's okay. We
I think we're all aware of breasts, aren't we,
Con? The
bigger, the better.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Now, Breast Cancer Awareness, not Breast Awareness Month.
We ran a contest very for good. Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Absolutely.
And we had a winner, Nora Alstead from California, and it was... Simply sign up so that I can send you on a monthly basis a small newsletter that talks about breast cancer and what you can do to help yourself. And as a result, I got a number of people who came over. They checked out the site. They checked out our mission, our mission statement, which is to raise the awareness in the science fiction community of both men and women about breast cancer and what you can do to just keep yourself safe so that you can go on having a good time and exploring strange new worlds and stuff. We got a really, really great response, and she was the winner. She won the Battlestar. She had a choice, Stargate Atlantis or Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
She chose Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, good,
the
good.
First season DVDs, good. And we're going to do it again.
Good woman there. She chose the right show,
Yes, she did. She did. I said, you have your choice, but I was like, yes.
Now, what about this... BBC was going to run a series called Super Volcano that was going to destroy the United States, but they put the kibosh on that. Is that right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Well, these are some new shows. BBC's cranking out. I wish we get Doctor Who over here, because they got Doctor Who on. Then they're doing a spinoff of Doctor Who, but we're not getting either of them. So
no, neither one of them. Not yet. Except unless, of course, you want to go to than legal methods.
Well, according to this, about the super volcano, it was supposed to be a super volcano. Was what would happen if America's Yellowstone volcano were to erupt again? So apparently it was going to devastate the United States, the super volcano. So that would have been nice to see, something new. You know, I always get these disaster movies of the month and everything else. So.
I know.
But, anyway, Judy, we're at the end of our time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, the Cylons are sending you away there, Judy. All right.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All All right, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Judy from the sciencefictionbuzz.com website. The Cylons have spoken, and that was nice. A nice little update on science fiction, not just Galactica. We talked about Firefly, a little bit about the, what the hell else, the super volcano and triangle and everything. So, very good. Aquaman, I can't believe they're going to make a series on Aquaman. Can't they? Why can't they do Batman for crying out loud, or Nightwing, for Christ's sake? They could do Nightwing, a Nightwing series. Why not do Nightwing?
I always hear something about the Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer? Oh, yeah. That's supposed to be a movie, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But why don't they do an Iron Man that's supposed to come out? Tom Cruise was supposed to play Iron Man. What happened to that? You know? I don't know. And then I wish, why don't they do Superman, Smallville, yes. And then they can do a Nightwing series. Why not? They can do that. They have some kid in high school, and he's Nightwing, or he's off in college. They explain why Bruce Wayne's not in the picture. They could do it like that if they wanted to. That's what I think. We need a Nightwing series. We're sick of these Superman shows. How many of these Superman shows we have to sit through? We had whatever that is, Lois and Clark, and now we have this other one, Smallville. I mean, oh, that's another one I saw at the hotel, John Schneider. I actually bumped into him. Yeah, I bumped into him at the hotel. Bo Duke. He's on Smallville. Yeah, Bo Duke. And then I bumped into him at the hotel, too. And I was carrying a plastic holder, and he thought he hurt me. I'm like, no, I'm fine. And but it was nice. But anyway, I mean, why do we have all these Superman shows? We only haven't had yet a live action, except for that one 60s live-action Batman show, which, you know, was horrible. But, you know, Aquaman, come on. We need Aquaman. We ever had one Wonder Woman series. Why are we getting saddled with an Aquaman series? You know, who's going to play Aquaman? Do we know? I don't know. So, anyway, we got to get out of the way for Amber. And, what? Next week? Next week will be on next Tuesday? Yes. I'm having a guest book. Judy's going to be on. I'm still searching. I'm trying to get a big guest. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So I'm still working on it. If not, we'll have one of the regulars come back on. Justin will be on next week from the Dunkelvint. And I'll work on somebody big for the show the first hour next week. So I'm still working on it. So if not, we'll just get one of the regulars on. So the website is subject2discussion.com. Email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And up next is Sounds of Sin. Tomorrow morning at 10 is Daily Noise. And what else? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Is Daily Noise going to be on Thanksgiving? No? No Daily Noise. All right. Friday will be Spank Wagon from, right? They'll be live, right? And King Cash? Is that SOB coming in? Yeah, we'll see. And...